It's exciting to be able to go back home.
I got to enjoy each game.
We got a chance to bounce back. You got to be ready. Just move
on up. Nobody picked him up. Now takes a deep three and drills it. What a start for the Hawks.
They came out aggressive. They threw a big punch.
Giannis dunks it with her right hand. How do you stop that freight train? Middleton buries another one.
Whoa, the Chris Middleton show.
We just stuck with it. They're trying to grind him down. Finally, they started dropping for me at the right time, so I'm thankful for that.
Jalen Rose, I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
What they want.
Jalen Rose is in Phoenix. We're going to get you ready for a huge game five in the Western Conference Finals, but we start the show with the Bucks versus the Hawks in a pivotal game three in Atlanta. It was Giannis shooting, getting everything he wanted around the basket, but Mr. Rose, when it came time in the fourth quarter, what did the Bucks do?
Nuck if you buck. I like how the Milwaukee Twitter feed did that to the Atlanta Hawks. That was really clever, especially since they were performing at the game yesterday. Here's what happened. Chris Middleton took over. Mm-hmm. And there was something that happened in the third quarter. There was a controversial play where he got upset at the ref. Then at the beginning of the fourth quarter, he was guarding Gallo on the post. Gallo kind of hit him with a chicken wing. He looked at the ref. He fell back, and Gallo hit a jumper. That got Chris Middleton going. He stopped being hesitant then. He started being aggressive. He started hunting shots. And before you know it, he was making threes. He was making twos. As a matter of fact, he was scoring more points in the fourth quarter than the Atlanta Hawks team put together. Obviously, Trae Young leaving the game with his ankle injury after he stepped on the official had a big-time effect because the Bucks went on to win without him out there. But Chris Middleton was spectacular in bringing home this game in the fourth quarter.
He really was. Trae Young, again, stepped on the referee while he was running back on defense, tweaked his ankle, and never really looked the same. The Hawks were up by 7 with 7 minutes left, but then it was just Chris Middleton. This has happened before with the Milwaukee Bucks. Yes, they have a defensive player of the year. They have a 2-time MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo, but in those closing possessions, when they need baskets, they go to Middleton. Do you think they will continue to do so as we move on through the playoffs?
Absolutely, and here's the thing. I got to make sure that I defend the integrity of Giannis Antetokounmpo being treated like a Goliath. Like, he can't do everything, guys. Like, he's one of the most agile seven-footers that the league has seen. I'm talking about, like, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, like, the ability to be out on the floor and, in theory, guard five positions, give me double-digit rebounds, but yet get out on the fast break like that. You know what he's not going to often be able to do? Go one-on-one and shoot a three or shoot an 18-foot shot. That's why you have your guards. That's why you have your wings and your perimeter players. So Middleton is playing the role that they need him to play as a closer, and that's what he was able to do yesterday.
One of the people they've relied on in previous seasons they can't rely on this year is Lopez in the middle. We saw in game one how Trae Young just took advantage of their drop coverage. So what did they do? They bring in Bobby Portis. And Bobby Portis was, everyone's going to talk about Middleton today, but Bobby Portis had himself a game last night. He was a key contributor for the Bucks. Do you think they can continue to do this and go small against the Hawks?
Well, Bobby Portis had a really good season. And he's a guy that can play physical and play tough, but he's also really skilled. He shot around 40% from three on the season, and he makes them from different spots on the floor, and he can also take advantage of a smaller guy on the post. And so when you have him out there to bring that level of toughness and tenacity, instead of Brook Lopez, you put Giannis at the five. And if you notice, there were so many plays, if the Hawks took a long jump shot and Giannis was out on the perimeter, he just leaked out. Somebody grabbed a rebound, tried to throw it to him for a rim run, and he's out in transition. So Bobby Portis allowed that to happen because he was able to play those quality minutes up front.
That's a great point. Everybody talks about building a wall to stop Giannis. You can't build a wall when you're in transition, and Giannis just absolutely eats up those possessions. Jalen, one thing I love about the NBA playoffs is sometimes there are these players that just blossom like a flower, these revelations. And one of those players is going to be a key tonight in Game 5 in the Western Conference Finals between the Suns and the Clippers. And I am talking about that man on the right of your screen, DeAndre Ayton, who has been a true revelation during these playoffs. What do you expect from him tonight? And what can the Clippers do to try to slow him down?
I'll say consistency. So the Suns defeated the defending champion Lakers, and they weren't going against Anthony Davis. They defeated this year's MVP in Jokic. That's where the young man DeAndre Ayton took a leap, because not only was he scoring the ball, but he also had that huge defensive assignment. And in this series, whether Devin Booker's been in and out of the lineup with a broken nose, or wearing Patrick Beverly like a straitjacket, or Chris Paul missing the first couple of games, and shout to Cameron Payne, because he was terrific in particular earlier in the series before he hurt his ankle. It's been DeAndre Ayton, the consistent dominant factor, giving points, giving boards. And it's not just how, it's not just the points that he's getting. It's how he's getting them. That's a set play right there. He and Chris Paul hook up frequently like top five as it relates to player-to-player assist ratio all season. So you can give it to him on a drop roll. You can throw it to him, lob over the top. And then in transition, he still can run because he's really agile. Now, in the previous game, they took advantage of him. His plus minus wasn't really good because they do a great job of just spreading out any big. And you saw him just take Rudy Gobert out of the series. They have not been able to do that to DeAndre Ayton, who's been fantastic for the Phoenix Suns. And you know you're doing good when you get drafted ahead of Luka Doncic and Trae Young, and people aren't regretting it.
Yep.
That's when you know you're doing a really good job.
I remember on this program when Chris Paul signed with the Suns, me and you both said, this is going to be great for DeAndre Ayton. Because you remember DeAndre Ayton used to be shooting jump shots. Now, if you look at those clips, Tommy, play the clips again. Where is DeAndre Ayton getting his shots from? Restricted area, lobs, that's a nice little turnaround there. But these next two shots, look at this. Chris Paul is just saying, you know what? Just jump up there and finish, big man. Jump up there and finish. Chris Paul has been absolutely great for this team. I think Booker playing without the mask, as I suggested, again, senior broken nose analyst. I've broken my nose many times. You got to take that mask off. You're going to break it. You're going to break it. You can just get it fixed in the offseason. But I do think that they will be a key to closing out this series, which is going to be important for them in Phoenix. But Mr. Rose, there's something I need to talk to you about. Okay.
Okay.
Why?
All right.
Is Kawhi Leonard watching Game 3 and Game 4 from the suites? Why is he not down on the bench? We talked about the previous series when they took out the MVP Jokic. Do you remember Jamal Murray? Jamal Murray was ready to check in the game. He was on the bench. He was a factor. He was a part of it. Why is Kawhi Leonard watching from the suites, not down on the bench? Explain it to me.
This is true to his personality. He stayed low and kept firing his entire career. Kawhi has never been that guy that thumps his chest after he makes a shot. He's never been the loudest rah-rah guy, regardless of where he play. This is actually true to his personality, Jacoby. And I saw the reports that he may be upset at the training staff for the Clippers. I remember that same thing took place with the Spurs. So I don't anticipate he's going to come back in this series. But I'm not going to read into the fact that he's watching it from the suite with his family during COVID versus being on the bench, jumping up and down in timeouts. If he was on the sideline, we'd be saying, Kawhi ain't getting in and out of the huddle. Why is he not jumping up and down? Why is he not talking to Nicholas Batum, giving him instruction? I think the best thing for him to do is exactly what he's doing. Be there to support his team, but do it where he doesn't have to keep getting up after every timeout.
Jalen, can I do the media thing and read too much into this? Is Kawhi Leonard going to be a free agent this offseason and hit the market? Is he? We will find out. Well, there's also some rumors about Dame Lillard. There's a report from our guy Chris Haynes that Dame Lillard maybe might kind of sort of not be happy with the way things are going down in Portland and potentially would want out. What do you think about these reports from Chris Haynes?
I think we saw this coming. And anytime you're a great player like Dame Lillard, a superstar in today's NBA, you want to still try to maximize your game while you're still in your prime. He has multiple years left on his contract, and they just let go of Terry Stotts, a coach that he was extremely familiar with. and they have various degrees of success. They've had first round exit, second round exit, Western Conference playoff exit. They've had Dame hitting notable game winning shots, so many to name. They've also been swept a few times out of the playoffs. So it's been various degrees of hit and miss while Dame has still been a spectacular player. And so now when you look at the landscape of the league, Dame is like, can I win a championship here? And so it's going to be interesting to see how the Portland Trailblazers respond to this. I'll tell you this. I'm not trading Dame. I'm not going to be able to do it, dog. He got a few years left on his deal. I'll bring him into the office. We're going to try to figure out what makes him happy and what makes him comfortable with the roster moves that we're trying to do. And I think he and Chauncey Billups are going to get along just great. And so because of that dynamic, I'm not rushing in any way, shape, or form to try to trade Dame Lillard.
Well, we will certainly monitor that situation. We have a superstar who might want out of Portland. We also have another superstar in the NFL. Of course, we're talking about the MVP, Aaron Rodgers. Does he want to stay in Green Bay? Will he play in Green Bay? We'll give you the latest on that and much more. You are watching Jalen and Jacoby. Coming to you live from the Seaport District of Manhattan and brought to you by Chase, welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose. I had to read this article about Aaron Rodgers' financial situation like three times to even kind of understand it. It seems like, even though training camp starts on July 27th, one option for Rodgers would be to retire by Friday so he doesn't have to pay back the Packers. It's very complicated. However, this question is simple. July 27th, when training camp starts, do you think he shows up to play for the Packers?
I don't think he shows up, and I don't think he retires. This is really simple, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron Rodgers has been with that company over 15 years and proven to be really good at what he does. But yet, for some strange reason, he has no guaranteed money on his contract. When you look around the league, there are only like a handful of people who can say that are going to be starting quarterbacks. He should not be in that category. So we could talk about what the receiving core is doing and who's showing up and not showing up. We could talk about what happened last year on 3rd and 8. But the bottom line is, as long as they don't show him the money, I don't anticipate him showing up. What are your thoughts?
I like this idea. Show me the money, I'll show up. Don't show me the money, I won't. And as you mentioned, there's zero guaranteed dollars on his contract. We keep talking about the fourth down play and drafting Jordan Love. I don't think any of that is as important to Aaron Rodgers as his salary and his contract and his stability and what he feels the company is showing him with that. And I believe that he feels disrespected and has nothing to do with 4th and 7, has nothing to do with Jordan Love, has everything to do with his contract. And if you are the GM, you say, Aaron, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And you give that man what he wants because he has proven to be valuable to them. They've been in the NFC Championship twice in the last 2 years, right on the doorstep of the Super Bowl. And I expect them to do right by Aaron Rodgers. Another quarterback we're going to discuss is the quarterback of the Cardinals, a team that we've adopted here on Jalen and Jacoby. And Kyler Murray said he was very frustrated last year and found it weird that they weren't in the playoffs. Do you think they can make that leap this season?
So I want to point out a couple of things that Kyler Murray said on this program that I think kind of went over a couple of people's heads. Number one, he didn't pledge allegiance that a great quarterback like himself should be with one team his entire career, as we were talking about Russell Wilson. And he really talked about how much he hated losing. The second thing is, he didn't rule out playing baseball. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a time where we're looking down at the bottom of the ticket, and if he starts to go down Aaron Rodgers' road, where they're not giving him the money that he deserves, Kyler Murray's going to be one of those guys that say, hey, if y'all don't want to pay me, either I could go somewhere else or I could even play baseball. I anticipate that to be something that we're going to be discussing in the future.
Yeah, they're in a tough division, and I really feel like when he was healthy, remember he was banged up last year, when he was healthy, when he was running the ball the way that he can, he was an extremely effective quarterback. Remember around week five, we were talking about Kyler Murray in the MVP race? That didn't last long, but that also is tied to his health. Jalen, there are again some rumors of turmoil in the Dallas Mavericks organization. It seems like every other day there's something new about the Mavs, and the latest is Mark Cuban again addressing the tension between Luka and KP. What do you think about this relationship between the two stars in Dallas?
Well, Luka thought he was getting a co-star, and he got a productive player that performs above average. And that's frustrating when you're watching Trae Young still get support in the playoffs, even though DeAndre Hunter's out. Other guys are stepping up. The same thing with DeAndre Ayton, who got drafted in front of both of them. Both of those guys are still playing in the playoffs. So, of course, Luka's frustrated. But also, I want to put some of this on Porzingis. As a 7'3" player, Rick Carlisle was not running plays for him. And Luka was playing a lot of isolation ball, kind of like James Harden in Houston. But as a big fella, there's different ways to impact the game. And he just didn't seem interested consistently enough. That would frustrate your best player. And I'm pretty sure that's what upset Luka.
Jalen, it is time for one of my favorite segments on this program. It is time to show me some Shohei. And of course, we're talking about Shohei Ohtani, yes, who once again was just blasting baseballs into the sky. Take a look and listen at the latest from Shohei Ohtani. What do you think about this?
Smooth lefty. And Jacoby, again, like, when you get to the plate, right, I was a fan of Barry Bonds. I want a power hitter like that, or Ken Griffey Jr., how he just slingshot that thing and let it hop off of his bat out of the park. But Shohei is not only a guy that's going to hit some of the longest, deepest home runs in the league this year, he can still go to the mound and strike out the other guy's lineup. Like, he's must-see TV. Like, we haven't seen nothing like this. Like, we talk so much about the history of baseball and how Babe Ruth was a guy that was hitting for power, but also a great pitcher. This is happening right in front of our eyes in 2021. This guy's incredible. I can't wait to go watch him play in person.
It's almost 100 years later, and we have a pitcher that is hitting home runs. And if he was on the Yankees, or if he was on the Dodgers, or if he was on the Red Sox, he would be a huge news story. But because he's in Anaheim with the Angels, he doesn't get the love that he deserves, except on this program right here on Jalen and Jacoby. It is now time for Soft Move or Boss Move. You know, I jumped on the Bills bandwagon, and I'm part of the Bills Mafia now. And one of the traditions in the Bills Mafia is jumping on folding tables and breaking them in half. And this bride, on her wedding night, decided to do that very exercise. Jalen Rose, soft move or boss move, breaking a table on your wedding night.
Having fun, doing something unique to represent the team that you root for, the opposite of David Jacoby, as an actual diehard fan. I respect it. And shout to Griselda, and rest in peace to my guy DMX, who did a terrific tribute at the BET Awards. But as I look closer at that footage, I could tell something. Griselda wasn't invited. I didn't see West Side Gunn at the wedding.
Jalen, here's one thing. I look closer at this footage, and you know what I see? Jalen, I see a table that is pre-broken. This is a soft move. That is a pre-broken table, and there's a mattress underneath it. Like, if you're going to do it, go all out. I respect the Bills Mafia. I love the Bills fandom, but you can't pre-break the table, even though it is your wedding
night. Or you
can't
just jump up and down on a hard floor and get a concussion on your wedding day, Jacoby. Come on, man. You're being really tough as a die easy
fan. I'm negative.
Fan.
Listen.
Like,
you're sometimes I go negative.
You're not in a position to criticize diehard fans. You're not in a position to do that.
We have a GOAT landmark that was achieved last night in the WNBA. Diana Taurasi, the GOAT, broke a record. We'll tell you what that is.
Got to give the people.
It is do or die for the Clippers tonight at 9 p.m. on ESPN. Game 5 between the Clippers and Suns. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Diana Taurasi became the first WNBA player in history to score 9,000 points. Jalen, celebrate our GOAT, please.
And also, been killing since day one. Mm-hmm. Putting this kind of work in college as a champion as well. And got to the league and exceeded expectations. Points, rebounds, and assists, championships, her size, her ability to be a magnet out on the floor, make people around her better. 9,000 points, that is incredible for the work she's put in. She deserves GOAT stat.
She is an absolute GOAT. Shout to Diana Taurasi. Jalen Rose, watching the College World Series over the weekend in Omaha, and I couldn't help but notice this clip. We have a Texas Longhorn fan chugging a beer out of a shoe. Jalen Rose, is that cultural or reaching the
hole? Why? That's definitely cultural. Let me know when you see somebody that look like me that's going to chug anything out of a shoe, especially in front of thousands of people. Would you do that? Have you done that?
No. We'll be back tomorrow. Check us out. We always say we get the people what they want. Part of getting the people what they want is doing podcast-exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Now, Jalen, I knew this was never going to make the TV show, but I need to discuss it with you. Someone made a Photoshop of Josh Hart in a Pistons jersey. And what did Josh Hart respond with? What was the one word that Josh Hart responded with? Nah. Just N-A-H. Just nah. Just disrespecting your Pistons, who have the number one pick in the draft. So now have Cade Cunningham. Jalen, what do you think about Josh Hart's rejection of the idea of playing for the Pistons?
I'm a huge fan of Josh Hart. Been following him since college at Villanova. And I believed when he went to New Orleans that that was going to be a great opportunity playing under Stan Van Gundy, because I thought he would embrace Josh's intangibles. Like, he's not necessarily a starting point guard, but I like the toughness that he brings, the defensive tenacity, his ability to rebound, and like just function as a big guard, as a smart player out there. In his case, just like myself, when I played in the league, he has no choice where he plays. He's not Dame Lillard. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. He's not Giannis. When you're guys like us, and you want to be a longtime veteran, when New Orleans decides to make a move, you know who they're not consulting? Him. Mm-hmm. So I understand that on paper, he may look at not only Detroit. This is how it works, Jacoby. He probably would have said that about 20 teams. You see what I'm saying? But he's not in a position to dictate where he's going to play. The squads are. I hope for his sake, though, he does a little homework in history about the Detroit Pistons organization, because the three championships that the Pistons have won since the late 80s, that's like in the top five in the entire NBA.
Mm-hmm.
We've won more championships since the late 80s than the Boston Celtics have, by the way. They've gotten one in that same period since Larry Bird retired. So, Josh, we're gonna get Kay Cunningham, Isaiah Stewart, and Bay were first and second team all rookie. We have a coach of the year on the sideline in Dwayne Casey. Jeremy Grant averaged 25 last year. And like I said, Kay Cunningham is gonna come in and he's gonna give us Jason Tatum type work. Remember I told you that. Jason Tatum type work. So, Josh Hart, you be great with the Pistons, by the way, brother. You be great with the Pistons. So, if that ends up happening, I'll be front row to watch it.
You never know. The Pistons might be the team that has the biggest contract offer for you. So, maybe you shouldn't be so loose with those Twitter fingers.
Absolutely. Here's the elephant in the room for my Pistons. The development of Killian Hayes. See, the two players that I mentioned made all rookie didn't go seventh in the draft.
Mm-mm.
And so he dealt with some injuries early. And that's tough for a point guard, especially on a struggling team. And he did show to be a guy that got to improve his jumper. His confidence was shot early, but he started to get more confident. I think this long bounce pass that he made really gave him confidence, and he started looking at the basket more. But in theory, like I said, I like what we're building in Detroit, and Josh Hart will be a welcome addition to that team. And we also got a really good owner. We also got a really good owner. Who's the Pelicans owner?
I don't know.
Boom.
Jalen, broken news for everyone who listens to the podcast. You'll never believe this, but Anthony Hardaway has interviewed for the open position with the Orlando Magic. You'll never believe this.
When I tell you the chicken lay eggs, get the skillet hot. Rest in peace to my late uncle, Paramore Hicks Jr. This is what I do for a living, man. I'm not a window shopper. And I know that he went to a microphone and said, I'm not interested in the NBA. I want to stay right here in Memphis. I actually saw that interview. And then you know what I came on here to say right after that interview? That Orlando should interview and hire Penny Hardaway.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kind of intel that I had on that situation, and also it just makes sense. Like, they have RJ Hampton, they have Markelle Fultz, they have Cole Anthony. Those guards need development. I got a team I want you to look at. The Los Angeles Clippers. Okay. Look what they did with their guards this year. Reggie Jackson was off of the scrap heap. Nurtured him, and now after they were down 2-0 earlier in the playoffs, put him in the starting lineup. He's been a game changer. How about Terrence Mann? And the big game in particular he had against the Utah Jazz, and now the confidence he's playing with. That's because Ty Lue and Chauncey Billups on the sideline nurturing their guards. Let me give you another team. The Phoenix Suns. Campaign was out of the league, dog. Was out of the league. See, in the NFL, you get these terms like quarterback whisperer, and the offensive coordinator gets credit for a great quarterback and then goes get a head coaching job. It's the exact same thing in the league. When you see these players become assets after they were not productive, that's not just their talent.
Mm-hmm.
That happened with me with Indiana. I was used to playing with the ball, playing facing the basket. And then Rick Carlisle was like, you know, Mark Jackson ain't going to be playing off the ball. He ain't going to be moving. He ain't going to be cutting.
We're not setting screens for Mark Jackson.
Assist guys of all time. So therefore, Jalen, you're going to need to learn how to come off screens if you're going to play alongside and get minutes next to Reggie Miller. That's player development. And so Penny Hardaway, as one of the best guards, big guards that the league has seen, and players in the history of the Orlando Magic, it just totally makes sense. It just totally makes sense. And for a level of relevancy, is the Orlando Magic, they're a professional team, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. So if you're a professional team, besides winning, you want relevancy. And you know what's going to happen if they sign Penny Hardaway as the coach? We're going to care about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going to happen if they don't? We're not. That's just how this works. So that'd be a great opportunity for them and for him to turn around the Orlando Magic.
I would love to see that. And you know, I always like low expectations, especially in my professional life. And the expectations could not be lower for the Orlando Magic, especially after they traded Vucevic to the Bulls. That didn't work out for the Bulls. That did not work out for the Bulls. Not even in the play-in. Not even in the play-in. Jalen, I didn't watch the Bow Wow Soulja Boy versus battle. I didn't see it. I was watching NBA basketball. I saw a couple clips. But what do you think about a proposed Little Kim Nicki Minaj versus battle? A little cross generation.
I know you see me on the video. True. True. When Nicki Minaj first came out, I remember hearing her on Sirius Radio, and she was breaking down how she decided to give herself the nickname Minaj. And she was spitting. And she had the same cadence and basically the same like flow as Lil' Kim. And so initially, I felt like, man, she got a chance to be a special artist because Lil' Kim was dope. Like, I remember sitting in my car listening to Hardcore Album.
Mm-hmm. People forget about Lil' Kim.
I listened to Hardcore Album.
People forget about Lil' Kim. She's got some banners hanging up in the rafters.
Correct.
Like the Benjamin's verse. The Benjamin's verse from Lil' Kim, like, it's probably the best verse on the track.
But I have to also say this. Her album cover on Hardcore, that looks like a vastly different person than I just saw in the BET Awards.
Yes.
And I'm not here to judge anybody on what they decide to do with their body and or what surgeries they choose to have. But when I look back at that album cover, I was like, that was a beautiful pop. That was a beautiful, I guess, polished diamond that she looked herself in the mirror and felt like she wanted to make some changes. And I'm not here to judge her, but that Hardcore Album and that album cover, classic.
Absolutely.
But when you
classic.
Say they're going to do a versus, what's going to happen here is it's going to be hard for Little Kim because she's going to get compared against her past. Kind of like you just said, her past music, her past look. And Nicki is now. She has a huge social media following. And so I think that'll be a tough battle for Little Kim to win. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see it because, like I said, I felt like this when I first heard Snoop. I was like, he sounded like Slick Rick.
Huh.
That's the first thing I said.
He does kind of sound like Slick Rick.
When you listen to early Snoop, the storytelling, the cadence, the delivery, some of the words that he used reminded me of Slick Rick.
And Lottie Dottie, too. He leaned into it. He leaned into it with Lottie Dottie.
Correct. He just owned it. And so I would love to see this versus, but I like you. I miss the Bow Wow. I miss the Bow Wow battle against Soulja Boy because I was moving and shaking.
Good for you. Jalen, I don't like to eat fast food, but I have kids. And sometimes it's just, you know, that's just what you end up. You just end up at McDonald's. You end up at the drive-thru. You end up at Burger King. You end up at Popeyes or Subway. And when I go to Subway sandwich, my go-to is a tuna sandwich. Swiss cheese melted on it, lots of lettuce, pickles, onions, oil and vinegar, salt and pepper. However, there was a study done, and there's absolutely no tuna DNA in the tuna at Subway. Should I stop eating the tuna sandwich from Subway because of this report?
I got to tell you a secret about the meat and the DNA of a lot of fast food places that a lot of us eat. That ain't real meat anyway. Like, you think that, and then you think that you're ordering a healthy salad, but really it's just something that they bought in a box. You know what I'm saying? And somebody just took a handful of it and just threw it on a plate. Like, mm-hmm. when you're at these restaurants and eating this processed food, all of us, me too, like, that ain't real ground beef.
No.
When you're at Taco Bell, that ain't ground beef.
No.
Yeah,
they did
I
a
hate
study on that
to
too.
Y'all.
Yeah, yeah, they had to stop calling it beef. I think it's like it was like soy or something.
How about this? And this broke my heart. Let me tell you this. This is the mic drop of this entire conversation. Hey, man, and I almost shed a tear when this happened.
What happened, Jay?
They were forced. They were forced to stop calling KFC chicken.
Wow.
Just think about that. They were forced to stop calling KFC chicken. That word is not used anymore.
It begs the question
about that brand.
If it ain't chicken, then what is it? I'm going to have a salad for lunch today. I'm off of this. I'm going to have a salad for lunch today. We always say get the people they want. Part of that is hearing from you, the people. We love to hear from you. Some of our best content comes from your calls at 985-80-JALEN. So if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this.
Jalen, Jacoby, what's up? Shout out, Reg. This is Eric from Houston, Texas. I had a soft move or boss move question for you guys. So I have a little boy, and we're about to have we have a 2-year-old girl, a 1-year-old boy, and we're about to have another boy. And I wanted to name him Jalen, but the thing is, my younger brother, who's 21, my dad named him Jalen already because Jalen Rose is his favorite player back then. So is it a soft move or boss move to name my son Jalen, even though my little brother's name is already Jalen? Let me know, guys. Keep getting them checks. Love you guys. Peace.
Eric from Houston, you came to the right place. We have Jalen Anthony Rose, the original Jalen, here to weigh in on you potentially naming your child Jalen. I think I know what he's going to say.
How about this, Jacoby? Shout out to my brother, Shiz. I was just in L.A., as everybody knows, for the Clipper game. And I went and got a fresh cut. And I was leaving out of the shop. And I went to the bathroom. I put my bag down. And one of his friend's son came in. And it was the first time that they met. And I heard him tell Shiz, I'm Jalen, such and such a son. Right? So I come walking back by because I heard the end of the conversation because I wanted to give Shiz some dap before I left. And by the way, you see Reg DeLand's new profile picture?
I'll look at it right now.
Shiz blessed that boy.
Well, I bet he got J&J in his bio. Let me look at your bio real quick, too, while we're at it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm going to put J&J in my bio today.
Sure you are.
And so let me tell you what's funny. I was leaving out, and I gave Jalen some dap, and he knew who I was. And you know the amazing thing that he said to me? That I never truly thought about it like this, but I guess it is what it is. He gave me some breaking news.
It's a breaking news.
The breaking news was, he is a spell different.
How's it spelled?
I didn't ask.
J-A-E-L-E-N or L-Y-N? I've seen it a few ways.
Hey, dog, let me tell you something. And people ain't gonna come for me when I say this. Black people make up some names, dog. As a matter of fact, my name was made up. And this is the funniest thing I want to say about this story. There was a time in my life where I got teased for my name. It's crazy, right? My cousin, her name is Tia Von. T-I-A hyphen V-O-N. She's 2 years older than me. So growing up, we both had unique, original names. I go on to do what I do for a living. I love her. She goes on to do what she does for a living. Jalen is a common name. She's still the only person named Tia Von. And so what I'll say to our caller, absolutely still name your child Jalen, is because it's going to be a common name anyway. Ain't no way around it. So this idea that I'm not going to name my son David because it was in the Bible, and such cousin is named David, and such, it's going to be a common name. So if you got love, and shout to your family member and to Jalen that already exists in your family.
His little brother's
name,
Jalen.
There can be more than one Jalen in the family. Just like I'm pretty sure there are other names in your family that are more than one up. What are your thoughts, David?
Well, first of all, a couple things I want to say. Number one, he's got a two-year-old and one-year-old about to have another kid. Like, he's been putting in work. Shout out to Eric. We got three kids in diapers. I've had three kids in diapers before. It's tricky, man. It's a lot. You're not going to remember 2021 and 2022. You're not going to remember this time in your life. But I also like that his parents went from Eric to Jalen. Eric's a very traditional name. You know, Eric. And then once they had Eric, they're like, you know what the next one's going to be named? Jalen. Broke out the Jalen for the second one. And I would say that you can't have your little brother named Jalen and your son named Jalen. And you know what you can do also? You can let your little brother feel like you named it after him, even though you didn't. You know what I mean? Just let your little brother feel that way. Even though you didn't, even though me and you know, Eric, me and you know that you didn't name your son after your little brother.
That's a boss
but there's
move.
No
there
reason. There's no reason to tell him that explicitly. You know what I mean? You can just let him feel
well
like
said.
He's got a nephew named after him. And he will care more about that nephew that shares his name than his niece or his other nephew. That's just the way that things work in the world. So why not? Why not?
Boss move. Boss move. Shout out to Eric. He putting in work.
Yeah, he is. You have a kid every year. Also, Eric, take a year off, dog. Come on now. Take a year off. You got to pay for these kids as they get older. We always appreciate the calls. We have time for one more call. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this.
What's up, Jalen? Jacoby. Shout out, Reg the Ledge. This is Mike Richmond at DMV, man. Long time listener, long time follower, all that. It's like my third time calling in, so hopefully third time's a charm. So look though, this is for Jalen and Jacoby. And for you too, Reg, on the production side, man, if they finally give you a voice, man. I was just wondering if y'all could just give me some podcasting tips and everything. I started a podcast recently, and I just wanted to know, you guys have been giving the people what they want for over like 10 years now. And I just wanted to know, like, you know, what you guys went through from the beginning up to now. So keep giving the people what they want. I love you guys. I love your show. Deuces, man.
Appreciate
we
you
love
so
you
much,
too,
Mike.
My brother.
And you know what, Jay? Me and you aren't that organized, so we don't know the exact date that we started the show. It was probably, you know, August, early August, 10 years ago. But we're going to pick a date and just celebrate it. Because our 10-year anniversary is coming up, and we're going to celebrate that with a very special show.
I actually
so,
got
Jalen,
you, dog.
Oh, you do?
What you just said is you're right. We don't have the exact date, but we have the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going into our 11th. September will be our 11th season.
Mm-hmm.
We're 11th in our 10th season right now.
So, Jalen, Mike wants some podcasting tips. I've got some, but you start it.
I have a couple. Here's the number one podcasting tip. Same for anybody that's out there trying to create a show. Trust me, I just created a show called Renaissance Man on the New York Post. I do a new episode every Thursday. I also write a column and do a podcast. And I took this theory into that project as well. When we first started Jalen and Jacoby, I remember looking at my brother Jacoby and looking at the podfather, William A. Simmons, and telling them, let's not have guests. You remember those days?
Of course.
And I appreciate you because you were overseeing the pods. A lot of people don't give you a lot of credit for your administrative work in this game too. As well as you were doing the pod with me. And I know the corporate jargon emails that y'all were getting about our show being the only show, not only at the network, but in the industry that never had guests. And let me tell you why that's important. We went 5 years without having a guest.
At least.
Let me say that again. We went at least 5 years without having one guest. This is what I'm teaching you. Why? This industry has gotten lazy. And people think you're going to pitch a show and tell me everybody that you're going to have on the show. And then after 3 months, you exhaust all of those quote unquote notable A-list guests. And now all of a sudden you have to really do a show. It ain't about the guests.
Thanks.
So for your podcast, make us listen to your voice. Craft one, create one, own one, and be ready for criticism. What I do for a living, what David Jacoby does for a living, is like being an official. And if you're really good at this, every other month, I'm going to have somebody mad at me. It could be a player, it could be a team, it could be whoever. Because like a referee, when I blow the whistle on something, the team that gets the call goes straight to the free throw line and they're happy they got the call. The team that the call went against, they put their hand in a circular motion. Challenge that. Challenge that. And they know that they committed the foul. They know they committed the foul. They still want to challenge it. Don't make your show about guests. Make your show about your voice. And then the other thing I'll say, people care about current events. Talk about what's happening right now, last night, today. Mm-hmm. We don't really care about what happened 4 days ago. That's old. That's old. And so those are the tips that I have for you. And finally, own what you say. That's the toughest thing to do. Because as a referee, when the last time you've been watching a game and a referee made a bad call and they pointed to their chest and was like, my bad. Have you ever seen
never
that? Claude.
Never in my whole entire life. I've never seen that in my
okay.
whole entire
life. You're going to mess up names. You're going to mess up dates. You're going to mispronounce stuff. Like, your critics are going to remind you of that. But if you do this long enough, I can give you a compilation that makes Michael Jordan look like the worst basketball player of all time.
Of course.
Because he was doing it for so very long. Somebody can do that for anybody that's doing this. You can do a compilation of, she said this that day and it was a wrong stat. He said this that day and he mispronounced the name. Just keep going is what I encourage you to do. Turn it on every day and get as many reps as you can. Don't just do one show a week or one show a month. Do a show every day. Craft your voice. Be consistent with your audience.
Yeah, that's my advice. You know, Jalen, you played in the league. You've got a great voice as an analyst, but, you know, it took me a little while to find my sort of voice and to get my reps in, and it takes a couple years. So my number one piece of advice is repetition and consistency. Repetition and consistency. Keep going, keep going. It might feel like no one's listening, and maybe no one is listening, but eventually people will listen. So use that time when your audience is still small while you're still growing it to get your reps in and improve. Appreciate the call from Mike in the DMV, Eric in Houston. We always love to hear from you. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Mr. Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.